And we're going to look together this evening at verses 12 through 16, or 12 through 26, excuse me, Luke 5, 12 through 26. One main point that we'll see in these verses, this is the type of sermon that preachers love to preach because the point is clear and it's for our great encouragement, that Jesus Christ has authority to forgive sins. Jesus Christ has authority to forgive sins. Luke wrote this gospel to teach us about Jesus, and what we would see this evening is that Jesus has authority to forgive sins. So let's pray, and then we'll read the word. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit to work in our midst. We pray, O God, that the weightiness of your glory would be felt by all this evening as your word is read and proclaimed. We pray, Father, that you would move our hearts again with gladness and joy and faith towards the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be full of wonder, love, and praise as we consider what our Savior has done for us, that we have been forgiven of our sins by faith in Him. We pray, O God, that you would move us, that you would strengthen us in the Lord, that you would increase our faith in our Savior, and that He would get the glory. We ask in His name, amen. Let's hear the word of God. Luke 5, I'll read verses 12 through 26. This is the word of the Lord. When he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who is paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." So far, the word of God from Luke chapter 5. One point that's easy to remember, that Jesus has authority to forgive sins. Jesus has authority to forgive sins. You'll remember from a few weeks ago back in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus has been sent by God to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. We saw that a couple weeks ago in verse 43 of chapter 4. Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And then back in chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus, quoting the Old Testament, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." So Jesus has been sent to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Now before that section there in chapter 4, of course, was Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, where he faced Satan over that 40-day fast in the wilderness and came out victorious. And what we see in the sections that follow, including the verses that we're studying this evening, is the victory that Jesus accomplished in the wilderness being pressed into every area of life. Jesus has demonstrated that he has power to defeat Satan and his temptations, coming face to face with Satan in the wilderness and overthrowing his reign and power. And now here, Jesus presses that victory into every area of life. Satan and the fall have brought sickness, and we see Jesus healing those who are sick. Satan and the fall bring sin into the world, and we see Jesus forgiving sins. Satan sends out his demons, his agents, to accomplish his purposes, and Jesus cast them out. And sin and the fall brought death most of all. And Jesus demonstrates that he has authority even over death. So having had victory over Satan in the wilderness temptation, Jesus displays his authority and power over Satan, over the fall, over the realm of darkness, with all whom he meets. And we see that this evening with the leper and the paralytic, that Jesus has authority to undo this great effect of the fall, that even the sins of men and women. He has authority to forgive sins. When the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 13, he summarized it. He summarized his message by saying, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." And the apostles understood that that's exactly what Jesus has come to do. Now, what I'd like to do is give two reasons why, from this passage, Jesus is able to forgive sins, and then two examples of that forgiveness applied. So, why is it that Jesus is able to forgive sins? You'll remember the sort of stinging critique by the Pharisees in verse 21. The scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" So the Pharisees, they heard Jesus pronouncing forgiveness upon this paralytic. And they hear him say that, and they say, "Jesus must be a blasphemer. He must be someone who is taking the name of God in vain and even claiming the prerogatives of God, because no one can forgive sins but God alone." And about that, the Pharisees and the scribes are exactly right. Only God can forgive sins. No one can forgive sins except God alone. So why is it then that Jesus is able to extend and proclaim the forgiveness of sins to those whom he encounters? It's because Jesus Christ is God who can forgive sins. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 43, verse 25, the Lord says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. It is the Lord who blots out transgressions. It is the God of hosts of the Old Testament who alone can forgive sins. And Jesus understands full well what the Pharisees half understand but misapply, that only God can forgive sins. And yet here is Jesus, God in the flesh, who has come to forgive sins. He can forgive sins against God because he is God. He's God in the flesh. You'll remember if you look back to our passage from last week where we studied Jesus directing the fishermen, and they bring in this massive catch, and Peter in Luke 5:8 falls down before Jesus. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And we said that that's an identical parallel to what Isaiah experienced in Isaiah chapter 6. That when Isaiah comes into the presence of the Lord of hosts, he falls down and he says, "Woe is me, I am a sinner." And here is Peter falling down at the feet of Jesus Christ because he understands that he is in the presence of the living God and his sin has been exposed. Jesus Christ is God, and he can forgive sins because he is the Almighty One, God in the flesh. Think about it like this. Let me use a live example. If I were to steal Nate's bike, that would not be a good thing, and I wouldn't do that. And then Dale came and said, "Well, David, I forgive you." That would be nice of Dale to do that, but it's with Nate that I have to deal because I've stolen his bike. And it's the same thing for us with God. We have sinned against God. We have broken his commandments. Even the first commandment, we cannot pass by it without confessing our own sins. And yet, here is God, the one against whom we have sinned, who has come to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus can forgive sins because He is God, God in the flesh. And He can forgive sins, secondly, because He is the Son of Man. Now we see that in verse 24. That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And this phrase, turn back with me if you would, to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Oftentimes when we encounter this phrase, the Son of Man, in the New Testament, our minds immediately assume that Scripture is speaking of Jesus' humanity. And that may be in part in view, but I think what is primarily in view is what Daniel says here in Daniel chapter 7. I'll read verses 13 and 14. Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So Daniel prophesied about 600 years before Jesus came that one like a son of man, this Messiah, the one before whom all the nations would come in worship, that he will come to be king over all. And Jesus identifies himself as that son of man from Daniel chapter 7. And that tells us that the kingdom of God has come. God's king, God's Messiah has come. And he has authority to forgive sins. So Jesus has authority to forgive sins. He is God in the flesh. He is the Son of Man. Well, we see this worked out practically in two pictures or two individuals that we meet in our passage. This forgiveness of sins that Jesus has authority to extend. The first is the leper, and the second is the paralytic. And I'd like to spend our time looking at these two for the rest of our time together this evening. And before I dive in, I just want to say, this is worth your attention. Your greatest need in all the world is the forgiveness of your sins. This is more important than getting out of debt. This is more important than fixing family relations. This is more important than curing cancer. Forgiveness of sins is the most important thing that you need to have, because each one of us is going to stand before God. And Scripture is absolutely clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We read even at the end of Romans 14 a few moments ago that all will stand before Him and give an account. Our ears should be perked, because this is the thing that we need most. This is the thing that we need most. Forgiveness of sins. And here Jesus sets it forth for us. So let's pay special attention to these two examples. The first is the leper in verses 12 through 16. The leper. Now Jesus cleanses the leper. You see in verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Now, according to Old Testament regulation, it appears that lepers were forbidden from entering the city. So either Jesus was just outside of the city going towards there, or the man was just so desperate to see Jesus that he went right on in. But this was a man who was a leper. And if you look, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. In Leviticus chapter 13, we read a little bit about what life was like for a leper. Leprosy is a skin disease, a ravenous skin disease. That eats away at one's limbs. This man who came into the presence of Christ perhaps was lacking fingers, perhaps unable to walk, bulbous sores on his face, ashen skin. It was a sad sight to behold. And we see in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, something of the life of the leper. There God commanded the leper, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So a leper, not only did he have a disfiguring disease, not only was his skin an ashen color, not only did he have sores on his face, and indeed the person whom Jesus encounters here is not just a man with leprosy, but he says, Luke says in verse 12, a man full of leprosy, perhaps the disease in its most advanced stages. And his life was one of walking around with his lip covered, and whenever he was in the presence of other people, he would have to shout out, unclean! Unclean! He dressed a certain way that identified him as a leper. And he cried out about his uncleanness. He had to live alone. He was isolated from the rest of the people of God because of his leprosy, and he was to live outside of the camp, cut off from the people of God and cut off from the worship of God. This is a picture. The leper is a picture of what sin has done to human beings. How it has disfigured us. How it has cut us off from fellowship with God. How it has cut us off from the people of God. How our identity is that of uncleanness. What is the thing that summarizes the life of the sinner? Unclean, unclean, unclean. That was the testimony of the leper. A man brought to physical ugliness and disfigurement, to picture the ugliness and disfigurement of disobedience to God and of the fall from which we have all been affected. He was full of leprosy, an impure man, an unclean man, a picture of sin walking around in the flesh. And this leper comes to Jesus Christ in faith. In verse 12, he falls on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. So here's this man who has gone about his life cut off from the people of God, physically disfigured by his ailment, comes before Jesus Christ in faith and says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He knows that Jesus has the power to do it. He knows that it's just a matter of whether or not Jesus will do it. And Jesus says in verse 13, or we read in verse 13 rather, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Here is a man, a leper, a walking, talking picture of what sin has done to human beings. And Jesus, with a word, makes this man clean. He comes to the Savior in faith, this picture of sin and filth and defilement and uncleanness. And he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I will be clean. And isn't that a picture of the gospel? We come to Jesus and say, Lord, I am unclean, but you can make me clean. And he says, I will be clean. All who come to him in faith, he cleanses by the precious blood that he shed at the cross. But the picture of this leper shows us not only that Jesus has power to forgive sins, of course he does, and praise the Lord for it, but Jesus' dealings with this leper show us the compassion of our Savior for sinners. You see, his interaction with this leper isn't just merely, let me show that I'm powerful. Let me show that I can overcome this leprosy. Let me prove to everybody who's walking around that I can reverse this terrible disease by a word. Of course, Jesus can. But this interaction shows us something even more glorious, or increasingly glorious, about Jesus Christ. Look with me in verse 13. We know that Jesus can heal by the word of his power. We know that Jesus spoke and this man was made clean. But what do we see in verse 13? And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Here is a man who is the embodiment of uncleanness. If anyone else comes into contact with this leper, they become unclean. This man had to live alone, we read in Leviticus chapter 13, cut off from the people of God. And Jesus does not only speak a healing word, but he lays his hand upon a filthy man. Probably the first human touch he has felt in years. And our compassionate Savior lays his hand upon him and says, I will be clean. And instead of what every person before Jesus, what would have happened to every person before Jesus when they touched a leper? You become unclean. When you touch something unclean, you become unclean. What happens when Jesus touches someone who's unclean? He makes them clean. Not only does Jesus have power to forgive sins, He has compassion on sinners. He has compassion on sinners. Here is a Savior who can not only forgive your sins, but who comes to sinners in compassion and in mercy, who lays His hand upon those whom no one would dare touch and says, I will make you clean. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does He have the power, He didn't have to touch him. You know, there are other instances in the Gospels where Jesus just heals people by His word. But here Jesus touches this man and makes him clean. He has compassion on the leper. He touches him and He heals him. And just as a brief sidebar, friends, as we pray together to be conformed into the image of Christ, what a Christ-like thing it is for us to go to the dirty and to the defiled and to show mercy and compassion to those whom the world would ignore and kick aside, for that is what our Savior has done to us. You know, so often when people read the Gospels, they're sort of they have a Where's Waldo approach, right? Where am I in the Gospel? And so they'll look, even a lot of commentaries in the Gospels, they'll try to figure out, well, what does this mean, and find yourself in the story. Where do you find yourself here? You're the leper. That's who you are, okay? Good news. You're the leper. You are unclean. And just as this man is a walking, talking picture of the ravages of the fall and of sin, we can apply the lesson that he gives to us here this evening. You're like this leper. You're like this leper. Sin has left you defiled. Sin has left you unclean. Sin has left you disfigured. It has cut you off from the sweetness of sweet relationships with others with whom you should be at peace. Sin has ravaged our lives. It's made us unclean, dirty before God. Like showing up to a state dinner at the White House covered in mud. They won't let you in. You bump up against the Prime Minister of France and you're going to get mud all over his shirt. You're not fit to enter because you're unclean. But Jesus can make you clean. Jesus can make you clean. You remember John's vision at the end of the Gospel, at the end of Revelation, when he says, I saw the bride coming down out of heaven. And it's amazing. He uses these gems to describe the purity of the bride. But then he says, she shines with the glory of God. Christ takes unclean people and makes them clean. You remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6? The sexually immoral and the idolaters and the liars, they shall not enter the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, and you were washed, you were cleansed, you were made holy, and you were brought into the people of God. Christ will make you clean. Clean enough to stand before God. Clean enough for God to look at you at the judgment and to say, clean. Made pure by the blood of Christ. The leper reminds us that Christ can make you clean. He has power and authority to forgive sins. Those sins that others know about. Those sins that maybe only your spouse knows about. And those sins that no one knows about. That plague your conscience. Christ can make you clean. Come to Him in faith and be clean. The leper. But the second example is that of the paralytic in verses 17 through 26. A story well known to many of you, I'm sure. Those days, Jesus was teaching. Verse 17, the teachers of the law were there who had come from every village of Galilee and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with them to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. Find friends like this guy had, by the way. Find friends that'll do anything they can to bring you to Jesus. Wonderful. I'm sure all of you are friends like that. But what wonderful friends. They will climb up on the roof to get you to Christ. And may we have such friends like this. With persistent faith, they don't find any way to bring him in the normal way because the crowd is so big. And so they go up on the roof and they let him in down through his bed into the midst before Jesus. These friends with persistent faith let the man in through the roof. And Jesus, just like the leper, brings the power of the kingdom of God to bear on this man. The leper, a picture of uncleanness here. The paralytic, he's been rendered immobile. He needs people to carry him wherever he goes. He needs to be lowered in through the roof in order to see Jesus. He's a picture of the paralysis that we have because of our sin. And what happens? Jesus speaks to him in verse 20, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And then, of course, the Pharisees, they get upset about that. And Jesus says in verses 22 and following, "Why do you question in your hearts, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Jesus heals this man's body. And this is a picture, a foretaste of what that final kingdom of heaven will be like. And Jesus is bringing the power of the kingdom to bear on this man. That kingdom, when brought fully in, there'll be no sickness or death or crying or pain. But not only that, Jesus forgives his sins. He says in verse 20, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And in verse 24, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he tells him, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." Jesus forgives his sins. So the leper, a picture of uncleanness, and the paralytic, a picture of our spiritual immobility and our helplessness because of sin and the fall. And the lesson from this latter, from the paralytic, is really the same as that of the leper. Come to Jesus and be forgiven. Come to Jesus Christ and be forgiven of your sins. Here is a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who is God in the flesh, who is the Son of Man, the promised Messiah from the Old Covenant. Here is a Savior who will forgive your sins. Think about that. Think about that with me as we close. What will that be like for you? When you stand before the Almighty, the searcher of hearts, the one who was and is and is to come, and the one who sees the very depths of your soul, and he can stare in you and through you and all around you, and he can line up all of your history before you better than you could read a book. And he can look at every deed and your filth in Adam and everything that has been born out of your guilt from your fall into sin. And he could line it all up. And he could bring it to bear on you. And yet in Christ, forgiven. Not a single one of those sins held against you. Not a single one of those sins that would cast you into hell because Christ bore them on the cross. Forgiven. Hearing that great pronouncement, a sinner such as you, one who you know the guilt and sin in which you have walked. But that God would say, they're forgiven. They're forgiven. Come to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. This, my friends, is what you need more than anything else in all the world. To be forgiven of your sins. To be forgiven of your sins. Jesus can fix a whole lot of things. He can give you principles in the Scripture to get your financial house in order. He can give you principles to help your family. Sometimes, through prayer, God mercifully heals those who are sick. But oh, to have the forgiveness of sins. Better to be forgiven and still have financial trouble than have your finances sorted out. Better to be forgiven and have cancer than not have cancer but not have forgiveness. Jesus Christ will forgive your sins. Friends, come to Him in faith. Come to Christ in faith and He will forgive your sins. It's what you need most, and it's what only Christ can give you. And He will give it if you come to Him. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we praise You for when we were content to walk in sin and darkness, You sought us out, You shined the light of the gospel and shed it abroad in our hearts. You gave us life and faith in Your Son, and in Him we have full forgiveness of our sins. We pray, O Lord, pray that each one here would be trusting Him, would be resting in Him. O Lord, for the believer whose conscience is pricked that she or he would run to Christ, confessing sin, knowing that you're faithful and just to forgive. Oh Lord, if there be an unbeliever here, that they would know the seriousness of standing before you in sin, and yet that in Christ they would be forgiven. Lord, we pray that you would do that work in our hearts. Help us, oh Lord, to walk as our Savior has walked. Help us to forgive as we have been forgiven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.